I am a sucker for Facebook videos. I get drawn in by cake decorating. All of a sudden, I realize that I have spent 10 minutes or more of my day watching flowers appear from the end of piping bags, or the beauty crafted from butter and sugar. The thing is, the algorithms learn what you like, and they give you more of it. Lately, I watched a video of a young girl, maybe 7 or 8 years old, playing a stringed instrument with gusto, backed by an orchestra. Thus, my newsfeed has been flooded with videos of talented children playing complicated pieces of music in front of large audiences long before we think that they are old enough to manage either the skill or the pressure of it. But as much as we may want to think of this story today as a child prodigy, Samuel so ready to respond to God's call, a young man serving the Lord, even though he doesn't know God yet, there is a mind-bending clash here. This is more of a hard calling towards communal truths. How many of us have heard sermons on Samuel's calling and have held up our hands and sung with heartfelt commitment, "Here I am, Lord, is it I, Lord? I have heard you calling in the night." I know I have done that. I've also learned, careful what you say yes to. God takes those yeses seriously. This is a story of deep listening, communal discernment, and speaking through trembling lips, words that will make our leaders and our communities' ears tingle. Words not for the individual's direction, but for the communal good. It's not an individualistic call, or where am I going with my life, but God-giving words that will not fall aside or to the ground. Words that we are scared to speak, but that we know come from the deeper heart of something far beyond us. Many of us have a stilted relationship with the Old Testament. We like some of the stories, but it is also mixed with a bunch of law and guts and gore, and we don't think we agree with it. So we dip in for the parts of the story that we like. We cut it off when it gets to the verse that might complicate things. The gift of the narrative lectionary that we follow is that we get to put this in the context of the larger story. And it also challenges us to not cut it off before we get to the ending, but read the whole chapter, as we heard read this morning. So often I have heard this story up to verse 10, and you have it in your bulletin if you want to look. We like the back and forth of Samuel jumping up at the sound of his name being called, and finally recognizing that he needs to stay and listen to the voice of God. What God says to Samuel after God calls to him is not something life-affirming, even though it does set Samuel on a vocational path. It is a message of punishment for those not respecting God, and there is not a way out. Sacrifices, confession, and changed ways won't work here. What God actually says gets difficult. There will be punishment, and Eli, who is Samuel's mentor, can't make it better. Reluctantly, Samuel confirms what God already told Eli in the earlier chapters of 1 Samuel. God would punish Eli, ending his family line, because Eli did not stop his son's abuse of power. They raped women who came to worship and seized the sacrifices they brought there. Throughout the Old Testament, we zoom in and out. We hear stories of individuals, and then we zoom out and hear the treatment of a people, their movements, their wars, their struggles, and their decisions. I listened to many commentators as we pick up the story from where we left off last week. The wilderness lessons are over. The people have settled into the land that God promised Abraham. After Joshua, the Israelites are led by a series of judges who rise up in difficult times. As the book of Judges comes to an end, tribal wars threaten to tear the people apart. The promised land is not easy or without conflict. Samuel lives in a precarious time when the word of the Lord was rare. This is a continuation of the problem at the end of the book of Judges, where all the people did what was right in their own eyes. Indeed, 1 Samuel 2 speaks of how Eli's own sons did what was right in their own eyes in their work as priests. The times are dark as the night that falls as we begin this story. The nations were falling apart. The systems of judgeship had failed miserably. With all the chaos, how could the community possibly continue? Would it die before it really began? Would the promise God made to Abraham go unfulfilled? Who would God send to begin to deal with this mess? Samuel is Israel's last judge and first prophet since Moses, and he is God's answer. Samuel was born at a pivotal point in Israel's history. He represents Israel's transition from a loose system of judges to a unified monarchy. The writer introduces the reader to Samuel by first introducing his mother, Hannah. Hannah's story is the perfect segue for this transition because her story is diametrically opposed to the stories of abuse and sexual objectification of women in Judges. Since the Bible seldom tells women's stories, it is noteworthy that 1 Samuel opens with Hannah's story. Two chapters devoted to her story. Even before the narrator explains it, the reader instinctively knows that she and her son are significant characters in Israel's history. Samuel does not know God yet, but we do. This is the same God who still gave Sarah a baby, even when she laughed at God's messenger. The same God who had a conversation with Moses and Moses pushed back on his calling. The same God who got angry at the people of Israel when they complained in the desert that they were hungry, when they had just been miraculously freed from slavery. Maybe we really are made in God's image, complex, intense, emotional, compassionate, and seeking out relationship even when it is not straightforward and holds disappointment. This is a God who is a truth teller, calling folks to follow even through their fear, even as they get to know this voice and this character of who God is. Like Samuel, Isaiah, and Jeremiah, God's call often involves working to change human systems that are broken. And this can lead down difficult paths. We are transitioning with the people of Israel into a difficult part of their history, a coming towards and then falling away from God. Maybe this isn't that unfamiliar to us and is also a part of our story today. What are the misuses of power and the corruption that we need to confront? How is what we hold as important shifting, and our leadership may need to shift with it? How do we keep listening deeply? And how do we honor young and old? Honor youthful energy and responsiveness like Samuel's, and the discernment from years like the life of Eli? How do we make space to hear and hear again and hear again until we discern who is calling? Even if our eyes are dim, can we clarify our hearing so that we recognize the voice of God who is saying our name or the name of the one we are walking with? Just like Samuel's calling, the messages were for Eli and the people of Israel. And Eli's discernment that it was God's voice and his insistence for Samuel to speak the directions aloud helped Samuel step into his role as prophet and claim his voice in passing on the word of God. Callings aren't just for us, and we might not notice them without the work of the community. This is hard to hear because in our individualistic society, we are focused on ourselves. And we don't want to speak hard words to another. If we are a good person, we don't judge, right? Yet the prophetic voice of Samuel was for the community. Samuel was willing to be the vessel of God's voice to the world, willing to speak the hard and uncomfortable truth that had to be voiced. I see those today who speak up for a better world for all. Malala fighting for the rights of girls in Pakistan and for the freedom for education. Greta Thunberg, whose climate activism draws attention to the dangerous trajectory we are on in our relationship to the earth. And others who are lesser known, but no less important. Autumn Peltier, a Canadian First Nations water activist, who started to speak out for clean water at age 8. Mari Kopany, who has the nickname Little Miss Flint, Mari spoke up about the intersection of state negligence and environmental racism that we still see playing out in places like Flint, Michigan. And Calle Bastida, an indigenous young woman from Mexico who moved to New York City, Calle saw droughts and floods in her hometown and now raises her voice for climate justice, calling us all to care for the earth that we are part of, just as it is a part of us. The Lord was with Samuel as he grew up, and God let none of Samuel's words fall to the ground. And all of Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, recognized that Samuel was a trustworthy prophet of the Lord. God is still calling trustworthy truth tellers into our midst. God's call comes when we least expect it, and often to those that we least expect. God is a God of surprises. We as a church need to be like Eli, encouraging all to hear the voice that calls them forth into all that they were created to be. And at the same time, we help each other to be truth tellers, even when that truth is hard to hear. Can we see? Can we hear? May we embrace even God's uncomfortable callings and speak out for a better world for all. I invite you to join me in a time of reflecting and confessing as you turn to your bulletin. There will be spaces of silence for us to hold out our words and our thoughts before God. I invite you to join me. Gracious God, our sins are too heavy to carry, too real to hide, and too deep to undo. Forgive what our lips tremble to name, what our hearts can no longer bear, and what has become for us a consuming fire of judgment. Set us free from a past that we cannot change. Open to us a future in which we can be changed. Grant us grace to grow more and more in your likeness and image. God forgives you. Forgive others. Forgive yourself. Through Jesus Christ, the light of the world, be at peace.